This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hour number two here on the Miami Dolphins fifth quarter show. We're going to go ahead and kick off hour two with head coach Mike McDaniel. Let's go ahead and throw it to the coach.
It's rough, you know, the whole team has confidence in Skyler, and you know, I think our team in general doesn't look at it like we're a one-man savior at any spot. So it is a new set of circumstances of adversity so early, but I didn't think that the rest of the team's response to losing Teddy had anything to do with losing the game.
How did the injury to Teddy adjust your play calling with Skyler, if at all, and how do you think he performed today?
It adjusted a little bit. You know, you try to do stuff that the quarterback that's playing is very comfortable with. We're in communication all week. And I kind of have an idea. So there's, you know, maybe a couple calls I really would have done a hair different with Teddy. But for the most part, you know, Skyler has earned the confidence of the team. And it was he did have a rough rookie outing. That's not really a cause of concern moving forward, knowing that he's the type of person he is, and the biggest thing is he's got to learn from it, which I know he will.
Your running game was more effective today. Was that in part that you had to maybe step back from the passing game and with the new quarterback and lean on the running game a little more?
Yeah, I mean, we knew coming into the game that, you know, I think that is where a little familiarity with the coaching staff, I kind of figured we'd be getting certain types of defenses. So we knew and had, you know, put a strong focus, and our objective going into the game was, you know, we thought we'd have some good opportunities, so we needed to take advantage of them.
As prepared as a backup quarterback or a third-string quarterback is, and all indications are Skyler did everything. He did everything to be ready for the situation. But how difficult is it to really be ready for that very first situation?
No, it's that, you know, maybe that's that could have had you know, a slight effect on Skyler, perhaps just it being so soon in the game. But it's something that I think that all of his teammates and coaching staff know he's fully built to be able to handle, you know. But I do think it being so early might have been that was the one guy that it might have been tough on, was the guy that had to come in himself.
His defense made his name on pressure and takeaways, and had one interception. That was in the first series of the first games. Mm-hmm. We haven't had any since. Got some pressure today. Are you concerned that the turnovers aren't coming the way you would expect?
You know, it's not necessarily a concern as much as it is a focal point to improve on. You know, I think, as you guys know, I think regardless of win or loss in general, success or failure, this is a journey throughout the season that that you don't. As long as you take the same from losses and wins, and that's how to get better and improve, I think that's what winning teams do, because they end up playing their best football in November and December. So it's a definite point of emphasis. It's not nearly to the point of our expectation, for sure. So it's something that we got to figure out a way as a coaching staff and as players collectively to try to right that ship, because there is a big component of this defense that we expect as a coaching staff to get turnovers, and so we'll address it with a fine tooth comb to see if we can improve that for sure.
How will he be able to travel?
You know, Teddy. Basically, what happened is Spotter saw him stumble. He under the new rules and changes is ruled out and placed in protocol. He doesn't have any symptoms, and he's passed his evaluation, but he'll be now under the new regulations in the concussion protocol moving forward.
Does he have to stay in New York, or can he go with the team back home?
I believe he's fine to travel. I wouldn't say with 100% certainty, but I believe he's fine to travel.
A little bit about you're in a hole from the first play. You battle back, and you get in the fourth quarter with an opportunity to go ahead. You miss the field goal, and it just seemed like the bottom fell out. Was that just circumstantial, or was it that just said that?
Whether it's correlation or causation, it doesn't matter. I think that is something that you know, the team has to be aware of, and the team has to address. And without a doubt, that's what I'm going to, one of the things I'm going to bring up, because when push comes to shove, you know, there's so much time in the fourth quarter, or so much time in the second half, I should say, that, you know, shoot, we missed the field goal. Let's get a stop. Let's get the ball back, and let's go do it again. Have total faith in our field goal unit to make those long ones. Also, you know, the offense can do a better job of not making it so long, you know. But without a doubt, you know, to say that the wheels fell off would be fair, because it occurred in all three phases. And that's something that you can't let slip through your fingers and try not to figure out the why. That's what our coaching staff and our collectively our players, that's what they get paid to do. So we got to figure that out, because that's not acceptable, and it really shouldn't have been as much of a momentum shift as I think it played out to be.
Mike, what was your reaction last night to the investigation concluding, and like what the review said about how everything was handled?
I'm happy that that, you know, there's some policy that the medical experts deem is more safe for the players collectively. So that's a positive thing. As far as the as far as the determination that, you know, the things were followed appropriately, that didn't surprise me. That's what I've been saying from the beginning.
Mike, with the new protocol, and you've had two quarterbacks in the protocol, moving forward, do you think you need to have three active quarterbacks each game, if possible?
Oh, it's gonna be tricky because you don't know. You don't want to leave things up to chance in terms of there's no it's impossible to say whether or not someone's, you know, the timeline of when they're going to clear protocol. So you know, this particular situation, obviously with the new rule change as of yesterday, is unique and slightly uncharted. But you know, I think we're comfortable having two quarterbacks, you know, on the game day roster. So we're going to have to, you know, kind of assess those situations, and we might have to make a move as a result. We'll just be working on that moving forward.
What was your level of I guess comfort or happiness with the touches that Tyreek and Jalen were able to get today?
You know, they kind of knew that, you know, in the long term scheme of things, that we're until we start being a little more productive in the run game, there is going to be some disadvantage in the pass game. So they went into this game kind of knowing that their targets might be minimized early, but they, you know, to their credit and the type of players they are, they want to be on a winning football team, and you know that you have to offensively, you have to be able to run and pass, not just pass. So obviously that's, you know, their huge component of our offense. But to say that their touches were equating to our offensive productivity, I don't think is necessarily correct. You try to take stuff that the defense has given you, and they were it was obvious from very early in the game that they were going to play the pass until we proved otherwise. So I can't remember a first or second down single safety defense until the second half, and then there was a little. We had to pull Tyreek at the end. He got stepped on pretty hard, so that kind of hurt his cause in the second half as well.
Do you have an update on Tyreek's status as well as Teron Armstead, who left the game with the toe injury, and then even X, who we saw try out the groin, but he was kept out?
Well, you know, it was unfortunate. X wasn't able to really get to the game. He tried his butt off, that's for sure. Teron, we had already kind of scheduled something for him to stay in New York and get something looked at with regard to his foot. So he'll be staying here, and you know, hopefully we get some good information to how to address it moving forward, because I know that's really frustrating him, and he's a tough player to lose. And then, I'm sorry, who else? Then Tyreek. I feel, you know, he's a very quick healer. I'm very optimistic, but at this point, I don't really know, no.
Mike, you said that you've seen some cool things out of Raheem Mostert in the run game over the past week or so. I was curious, what are some of those little things you've noticed that let you know he's ready to kind of shoulder the brunt of the workload in the backfield?
No, so I always, it's a pretty simple formula. You know, you kind of have an expectation, especially when you've been as a coach. You know, you see a front, you see a coverage, and you know the play. So you know the pieces of it that are tough in terms of blocking, and so you know kind of how much you can the runner is going to get until there's contact. What's been cool seeing Raheem the last couple weeks is his yards after contact, the ones that aren't really, I don't know what you'd call it, sexy. It's more like those lean yardage where you turn a 4 yard gain into a 7. Now it's 2nd and 3 as opposed to, 2nd and 6, huge difference. Those are the things that I think, have really stood out, where he is at with his game. I know that his teammates feel it, and he's earned each and every opportunity he gets.
That was head coach Mike McDaniel following today's loss. We'll come back on the other side and react to his 13-minute post-game presser. Dolphins post-game is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. You've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen to get behind the wheel of a new Volkswagen SUV in Fort Lauderdale, Coconut Creek, and Delray Beach. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from MetLife Stadium, Jets 40, Dolphins 17. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins fifth quarter overtime show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess what, Dolphins Nation? When you sign up for Club Publix, you get perks, a birthday treat, and BOGO notifications. Just visit Publix.com. Terms and conditions apply. We heard from head coach Mike McDaniel there to close out segment 1 here in hour number 2. And we're going to open up segment 2 by going to our press conference consigliere, Big Seth. Seth, what stood out to you there from head coach Mike McDaniel?
There was a lot. 13 minutes is definitely a lot. But I don't want my leader to sound distraught. I don't want my leader to sound like, you know, the sky is falling. And he didn't. And I think a good coach doesn't get too high or too low there. And there was a lot of talk about the quarterback. We had a lot of talk about the quarterback here. But he said, look, this team knows that we're not a one-man savior at any spot. And so that to me says everybody needed to be better. Yeah. And yeah, so Tua wasn't here. We knew that going in. Teddy was gone. Maybe that affected Skyler because it happened so quickly. But that, you know, you can't put that the loss on that happening and happening so soon. I thought that was really interesting. You know, I think we expect a little bit of where he talked about the familiarity with the opponent in the running game. But he's not going to be that familiar with any opponent moving forward. I hope that there still can be some success in the running game without having to know the opposing defensive staff as well as he knew this one. You know, what really stood out, and Coach never throws anybody under the bus, but he talked about having to address the defensive play with a fine-tooth comb. Right, and he talked about how important the defense is. We heard that earlier in the year. Told the whole team that this team, you know, this is the defense's team until I'm proved otherwise. And now he's pulling out a fine-tooth comb. They got to figure something out and figure it out quickly. And the other thing that really jumped out to me, and I love the line. He said, "I don't know if it was correlation or causation, but it doesn't matter." And he was talking about the missed field goal and the way the team fell apart after that. And he said it was very clear that they did, but it is not acceptable. And there's no way that he would be doing his job if he didn't try to figure out why that happened, and that he's putting that on the entire coaching staff and the players themselves, because you cannot collapse. It's like, okay, we missed a field goal, now go out there and get a stop.
Right.
Right. That's his expectation as the head man, and he didn't get it.
I mean, what's this thing, right? We always adversity is an opportunity, and that's what they have next week, right? Because it's how they kind of bounce back here against the Vikings. I think says a lot about this team, and I tend to think it'll be a pretty solid bounce back. But Juice, you were kind of talking to us off air there about something that you're very familiar with, and I wanted to get your take on it because you heard him say that Teron Armstead was planning on staying in New York regardless of getting injured or not. We know he's had the toe injury here for 4 weeks. That's kind of how your career went at the end there, right? Was with the toe. Absolutely. So I want to hear your take on that.
You know what? It's so funny. It's the correlation is unbelievable. But at the same time, though, you know, I went to New York to see a doctor, Dr. Hamilton, and he worked on a lot of ballerinas, all the men and women in ballerina, and you know, that have toe injuries because they're obviously on their toes a lot, and he deals with a lot of that type of those type of injuries when it comes to the toes. And people, you know, so crazy about my situation, Travis, everybody was like, a toe. Cut off your big toe. I want everybody to cut off their big toe and see how it affects their lives.
No thanks, not I.
Cut off your big toe and see how it affects. And that's how my toe felt. My toe felt like it was pretty much cut off because it was non-functional. And the limp, and I went from wearing a size 11 and a half shoe to a 13 shoe on that left foot. So I had to wear a 13 on the right foot. So I had to wear like three socks.
Just for the space?
Yes, because it was like there was no room for it. And I also, on top of that, I cut a slit in my cleat to give it even a little bit more room. So in the game, you can see my sock would be coming out of that little X I put on my shoe, and it'd be grass staying out because I needed more room on top of that. So the fact that they were planning on him being there no matter what, because he needed that specialized attention because of what's going on with his foot. And Dr. Hamilton told me, if I was like, and I think Dr. Anderson said the same thing in North Carolina, if I was an offensive lineman, it wouldn't be as big a problem for me.
That's what I wanted to ask.
The fact that I was a wide receiver made it a big problem because the stopping and going and things like that. Because a good friend of mine, and we all know him, Terry Kirby, he had a toe problem, and what they did was they fused his toe. What they did was they fused his big toe up a little bit because your natural roll leaves that toe up. So he fused those things, and so they would have taken out the whole joint and just fused it. For me, I couldn't do that because running routes, I can't have that toe that way. And so for him to be there and already planning on staying there and getting that done tells me that this vet rest and taking a week off, this toe's a big problem for him, a big toe problem for real. And
we know if what toe it is? Has that been identified?
I'm
we
not
don't
sure.
know which
well,
toe.
Well, yeah,
it is.
Honestly, it really doesn't. It doesn't. I mean,
I'm just
doesn't
curious matter. If that has been discussed.
For the most part, usually it's a great toe. Otherwise, honestly, I mean, think about the other toes. The weight bearing toes are the ones that are more important than anything, especially that great toe. The great toe is the one that controls everything you do in life. So, you know, we got a great friend of the show and a guy that we had on our podcast, Tim Bowens, who came into the league with minus toes, but he had the ones that were important that were there and able to push off and obviously get off and do things like that. So The fact that he was already planning on being there, and the fact that, you know, they wanted to see a specialist, it means, man, your feet are, especially for guys that play my position, are so critical to what you do. Hands and feet, the rest of it I can handle, but your hands and your feet are the most critical part of what you're doing. And so, I mean, that was eye-opening for me, that they were talking about the fact that he's planning on staying no matter what. The fact that we lost him early in that game, you know, that's bad for us, obviously. But they knew that his situation with that foot was bigger than what we've thought about and talked about, and, you know, the whole time.
Because the way he went down, it didn't look like it was anything that's like severe.
But he got beat on the play before, though.
Yeah.
And so that tells you that his foot was still bothering him.
Yeah.
And that's the one that got the holding penalty.
Yeah.
That took back a play. You know what I mean? So that right there said he was laboring right there. And look, we've seen him cover people up all year long. He doesn't get beat like that.
Yeah.
So the fact that his foot was bothering him right there at that point, and we were like, oh, get up.
But called over immediately.
Yeah, he knew
gestured that, to the that trainers. Foot.
And I wouldn't even talk about how he even got to play at that point, because the reason I played at that point
right.
were for bad reasons. And you know, so he probably did the same thing. And at that point, it probably was probably worn out, worn off, the pain was probably excruciating.
And, you know, Juice, you talk about your position, and clearly what's required of an offensive lineman is different than what was required of a wide receiver. But I know from listening to Drive Time that, you know, Armstead's feet were as good as any offensive lineman in the league. And so a big part of his game is that athleticism and his ability to oftentimes beat that edge rusher to the spot, right? And it didn't happen on that play.
Go get him. Go shorten that runway.
Yeah, and I'm glad that he did hang on, right? You're down to your third-string quarterback and don't have another quarterback, a true quarterback. You know, you have a guy who played quarterback in high school on the roster as the next guy. And so, yeah, I'll take the holding penalty and let this guy finish the game. So I think that was a vet move there. But, you know, you see a guy, he's 6'5", he's 300-something pounds, he's big, he's strong, he's hulking, and you say, man, really, a toe is going to be the thing? Yeah. But I'm glad you asked the question, Travis, because I was going to ask you, Juice, like, I don't know what toe it is, but clearly it's something that's impacting him enough where he hasn't been able to practice, and it forced him out of this
game. Yeah, and think about this, too. I mean, within a week, he's become a backside quarterback. I mean, a tight tackle. He's become the blindside tackle.
Right,
the flip of the lefty righty.
Yeah, because we've got righties now. Now
it's great.
Now
point.
It's more emphasized. His job is changed all of a sudden.
Yeah, of course. Although that's what he's been his whole career, right?
I know, but he's always had to protect blindside more than anything. Now he's really was a blindside guy, and you know, and so. Honestly, you think about when you go to game plan, you look at a guy that's laboring, you really want to take advantage of that. And he's been laboring. You know, like I said, we looked at some of the injury reports, and you see him with being out or limited or whatever it is, that tells you that this has been a big problem. It's been a big problem, man. And you know, our feet are our assets. For me, like I said, my feet and my hands are my asset. Once I lost my feet, because I'm not going to blow by anybody, if I can run Tyreek speed, I wouldn't worry about my feet as much, you know what I mean? But the fact that I couldn't, and I counted on stopping and going, and same thing for a left tackle, you know, you got defensive, you know, ends that are so athletic and so agile that can go left and right so quick on you, you know, you Seth, you know Jason. Jason used everything. He can go underneath you, he can go around you, he can go through you. So as an offensive left tackle, you gotta be ready for all that. And are you ready for that? Your feet.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have those feet, man, you're in trouble as tackles. You can be okay inside. Interior offensive linemen, they got help. They got buddies. You know what I mean? Where you don't have to worry about the lateral movement.
Right.
But lateral movement on the edges, when you're isolated, it's critical, and I understand what's going on there.
That word isolated is a big part of it, too, because they will slide that protection away from him and leave him on an island by himself, and he handles it. He has through the first four and change here in some game, but this has been who he's been in his career. He plays great when he's out there, but he misses games every year. We'll see if he can get back next week for the Minnesota Vikings. I thought Brandon Shell played okay in his replacement. I got to see the film before I give a thumbs up or thumbs down there.
Right.
Austin Jackson eligible to come back off the IR next week, too, so hopefully we get some reinforcements there. With with or without Teron, it's a big piece of this team. And this team's banged up right now, guys. We need to get some guys back and hopefully get back on the winning ways, because this 3-2 stuff after 3-0, not very much fun. We'll come back and we'll do a drive of the game, I guess.
Find one, Travis. Find one for us, big dog.
We'll hear from Tyreek Hill as well. Plenty more to come here on the Dolphins postgame, driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score, Jets 40, Dolphins 17. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Overtime Show, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Give your actions more traction in the all-new Kia Sportage X-Pro with multi-terrain all-wheel drive. With the right tools, anything is possible. And we thought that this drive, an 11-play drive that winds up in the end zone, would be the drive of the game when it cut the lead from 19-7 down to 19-14. And it did wind up being the drive of the game, but for other reasons here, because we didn't score again after that. So it is an 11-play drive capped off by this rush from Durham Smythe.
Pistol formation with Mostert behind Skyler. Now they give it to...
They got it!
The touchdown!
He got it!
He went, Smythe ran up to behind the center, took the snap, and forced into the end zone, caught the Jets completely flat-footed, and we got a touchdown Miami with 4 seconds remaining.
I think the Miami Dolphins said, hey, I like that play you ran with Durham Smythe last year. Out of that quarterback sneak, we're going to run it. Boy, he got way in, too.
He was on the wing. He just ran up to behind the center. Well, Skyler was in the shotgun, took the snap immediately, and forced his way into the end zone with the Jets standing around going, what's going on here?
That was our Lexus drive of the game, brought to you by the all-new Lexus RX. Never lose your edge in our most evolved model yet. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. And there's a couple of ways we can go there, guys. 11 plays, 75 yards. The two directions I'll give you, and I guess you guys can take it from there, is I thought, number one, I thought that was going to be the response we saw all game long from this team, to come back after the touchdown drive of the Jets. We're thinking two scores, third-string quarterback, rookie quarterback, could be a struggle to get over this hump. They come back, put the ball in the end zone. You know you're getting the ball back on the other side of the half as well. And I also mentioned, you know, the offense had the ball, or I should say the defense didn't have to go on the field for like 45 minutes because they had the ball halftime, had the ball again for a long drive. Didn't wind up mattering in the end. But the second part there, I think that might be second part that I think might come away from that is, you know what, let's actually go back to that first point, because you know what it was.
You're driving, Travis.
Yeah, the Lexus driver of the game is not being driven by Travis right now very well. But the part that I wanted to talk about was the clock management at the end.
Yeah, jeez, yeah.
I'll get there eventually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was hoping that's what you're gonna
say. I was trying. Thanks for helping me out, guys. But the Dolphins, we were like, what's going on? Yeah, what are they doing? And then, of course, they score a touchdown with like 4 seconds left, which is perfect. So
I remember when this game was fun.
Fun is fun. But, I mean, was it perfect, or was it like they lucked out? Because someone replied to me on Twitter and said they got lucky with that, where that drive ended up. But did you think it was lucky, or was it just perfectly managed?
Well, you know what? We questioned Coach all season long with these. I mean, a couple times, not all season long, because we're only in week 5. We've questioned him a couple times with the clock management, but it's always worked out.
Yeah, we're curious about it, but it works.
It's always worked out. So who are we to talk to a Yale grad about what he's doing with the clock when it works out and ends up, I think, every time since we've known this, in touchdowns? So, it was squirrely. We were squirrely in there.
Unconventional. Can we call it unconventional?
We were in there like the guys that were supposed to be in a green room watching a game, instead of, like Terry Kirby said, that's why we're watching the game instead of being head coach of the game.
Right.
You know, because Seth hit him up like, you know, the same thing, right? Within this drive, though, you know, it's only one third down, and it was a conversion, you know?
Yeah.
So Coach and his time in clock management is one of the things you might want to question a new head coach. When those are one of the things that you talk about. Clock management, use of timeouts, things like that. And we've had some issues at times with clock management. We had used timeouts when plays weren't getting in time. But I'm done questioning him when it comes to two-minute drills, because he's got a plan. And it's worked out multiple times when it comes to this for our head coach. And to only have one third down within that drive and to convert it to Tyreek Hill, that's big time. So he's got an idea of what he's doing. Obviously, he knows what he's doing. With two timeouts, he definitely knows what he's doing in that situation. So I would love a more sense of urgency, Big Seth.
Yeah.
But
He looked cool as a
with the shades on.
He was not
good.
Concerned about our feelings
concerned,
at all,
man. And it worked out obviously in our favor.
What was the posture? The he was standing like in a certain way, and you were like, "Look at him. He's got it all figured out
cool.
right now."
Cool and cucumber.
Yeah. Cool as ice for sure. I mean, look. I think the one that jumped out to all of us was second and six, whatever it was, minute and 17 left, and he hits Smythe for 8 yards, gets the first down, and. Next thing you know, you got 34 seconds
tick,
left
tick,
on the
tick,
clock.
Tick, tick,
and
tick,
I think that would have been a great time. Again, I'm just some hack, washed up old PR guy sitting in a green room that needs the garbage can emptied out and watching the game. And you know, so whatever I'm saying means nothing. And as you said, this guy's a Yale grad. He's considered an offensive genius. And look, sometimes guys get lucky. Sometimes we made the analogy before, maybe I did, of I love when the 6'10 guy comes down and he shoots the three-pointer and makes it because I know he's going to take bad shots the rest of the game.
Right.
But if he shoots three in a row and makes all of them, maybe he can just shoot from out there. And so, you know, look, Coach McDaniel just might know what he's doing, folks. It's the reason he's there. Did he get lucky? I don't know. Maybe he continues to get lucky. I think to me it is a little concerning. It's hard to watch. It makes it, but when it works out, it's pretty exciting.
It's worked out. So
we were
far,
dancing around the green room at that point. And, you know, stop trying.
The game was fun. He said
that was when the game was fun. And look, if they didn't score, because there's no guarantee that you will, they certainly were not giving the Jets any opportunity to put together a drive afterwards. And so even if they had to resort to kicking a field goal, you hope you make that field goal. They were going to run that clock down. And so I do like that aspect of it. I do like that he's not nervous or rushed or queasy, as maybe some head coaches have been here in the past.
There's a callback.
But at the same time, I would have felt a little bit more comfortable if our seventh round draft pick rookie quarterback, who's the third string quarterback playing there, had a little bit more than 34 seconds to go when they had the ball on the 36-yard line.
Yeah, I was glad you mentioned the basketball thing, and you actually went into it, what I was going to cover as well, because, you know, that's a parallel that I have. You go back to the playoffs last year, the famous Chiefs scored in 13 seconds, right, to knock the Buffalo Bills out of the playoffs. I think that the way teams can get down the field so fast in the modern NFL has kind of changed the way coaches approach that. Like, one of their goals is obviously to go put points the board, but above all else, I almost feel it's like a basketball thing where we're going to have this be the last possession of the game or the half because
we're taking the last shot.
Yeah, right. For sure. And if it's a 6'10 three-point shooter, we'll take that. It's, you know, as long as they don't touch the ball again, because the Jets had three timeouts. And if let's say you miss a long field goal with 45 seconds and they have three timeouts, you're basically gifting them an opportunity to hit one or two passes and then they get 3 points. So I guess I like it because it's been successful so far, but I think that maybe in the future, if we run out of time, then maybe you don't like it as much. But right now, I'm liking the way it's going.
What I do know about this head coach is that if we can protect, we can destroy secondaries. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
If we can protect, if we don't put pressure on our quarterbacks, if we don't get pressure on our quarterbacks, we can destroy secondaries, especially with the talent that we have out there. So the reason that things don't work out a lot of times is quarterbacks don't have time to get it to these guys that are potentially running wide open. And so, dude, I'm like, I've never seen 2-minute drill run as effectively and as slowly as we've done it with Coach McDaniel. It's nerve-wracking, but it's so gratifying at the end of the day because we have come up roses at the end of the day with this. So it's amazing.
Because we had the debate, and I think it would be fun for the radio here and for our audience to know, like, let's say Durham does get stopped on the 1-yard line. And you guys were both quick to answer the question. I disagree with you. I'm sure you knew that going into the question. But Durham gets stopped. You called that last time out. It is, what was it, 7? What the hell was the score? 19-7 at that point? And so you're at the 1-yard line. It's the last play of the half. Do you kick the field goal or do you go for the touchdown? You guys were team field goal?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And unapologetically.
And I was unapologetically, abhorrently
especially
against
when I was getting the ball.
The field goal.
What? Come on.
My take is always, if you got 1 yard to go get the damn yard. But, yeah, I mean, I understand the points
youngins,
philosophy
youngins,
as well.
Man.
Yeah,
you had to come away with points there.
You the youngest, man. He's got that Madden philosophy going on.
I knew it was coming at some point.
Yeah, that's a great point. No, I just think, I mean, look, the way that you somehow survived, I guess now it doesn't feel that way, but the way you survived the worst quarter of football outside of, I guess, that Amazon game, the worst quarter of football played in the league this year by one team, and you have a chance.
No. Us beating the Ravens in that fourth quarter, it's got to be up there too, right? No?
For them, the Ravens having
to
play?
For them having the worst
coverage bust.
So I am going to go against the grain of what the national media said. I said the Dolphins did that to the Ravens. The Ravens didn't do that to themselves.
Okay, but
in this, game, the Dolphins were abysmal in the first quarter. And so you get a touchdown, then you have an opportunity. Because you're getting the ball back, get some points, go into the locker room feeling like you did something. And so, but we'll never know. And I think if the game had finished differently, maybe somebody in that press room would have asked Coach about the clock management.
Right.
But it just seemed a lot less significant at that point.
Hindsight.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I mean, if it, like you said, the fourth quarter gets away from you, who cares at that point? Right. The first quarter, first half of that game really kind of seems like an afterthought at this point. But
they've got to go back and look at it, though, right? I mean, you know, that's what I just really want to know. If Coach, I really would just, because he is so honest and transparent, if he was like, yeah, I probably could have called a timeout. I was thinking, I mean, I really would love to know.
You don't get those questions because of the other stuff.
Yeah. Can we get that question during the week, Travis? You're in a position to ask.
You know, well, I am in a position, but I also don't want to get in trouble for asking strategic questions. I pretty much go mute those press conferences
these
days.
We got nobody else. We need you. I know.
Well, I have to get text approved and ask if I can
text
ask the question.
Maybe Bo Camber will do it?
Yeah, he'll do it for you.
You don't care?
Sometimes I try to get the beat guys to ask questions for me. They're like, nah, I'm not doing that. I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll just keep doing my podcast over there.
Is that a bad question? Is that a bad question? Just kind of understand.
You know, I asked earlier about
you could preface it, but like, Coach, you get these amazing results.
Yeah,
in
you
got to
butter them up, right?
We're all nervous. Tell me what your philosophy
is. That's what I want to know. But that's strategic, though, so I don't want to, maybe I'll wear a mask in there and they won't know who I am.
Can we get Preach a credential?
He can be the press conference consigliere this week.
Yeah.
An actual consigliere. So.
Sneak Preach in there.
Yeah, I like it. We have a 1 minute left here. The other point that I made was just the way they responded on that drive. Were you guys pretty impressed by that after, you know, the way the game had gone so far? And, you know, after that Jets touchdown, after the pick, we're thinking like, this could be the wheels coming off, but it wasn't. It wasn't at that point of the game, right?
That was huge. It really was a huge drive, man. I mean, look at it, man. A lot of times, the response is always more important than what happened, you know, before that. And we had a couple opportunities and we responded. And this is one of those opportunities where we had a hell of a response. And that's key. For a team to go down after, you know, giving up points and then go down and get a touchdown with no time left and getting the ball back in the second half, that's ideal. The end of the first half, beginning of the second half is big time.
And it came
stuff
away with points in the first drive.
Exactly.
You know, it wasn't
right.
touchdown.
Exactly
but.
Right. And I would love for us, you know, to get more points. I think we got a field goal coming out in the second drive.
Like a 7-minute drive, yeah.
Right, on a long drive. And I think that might be more disappointing than anything because that was a hell of a drive. It only came away with 3 points. Kind of was a Jets win, and that's when everything else started to change. Because at that point, we didn't score after that.
No, and we both thought Tyreek was going to score on that blown up double pass play. Man, he was one step away, I thought.
One step away, and we get a field goal out of that, and the Dolphins did not score. So at that point, I mean, down 19-17 after the half, that was critical. It really was critical. Getting that ball back. Because all we wanted was points going into the half.
Mm-hmm.
We got a touchdown going into the half and getting the ball back. And then at that point, you know, we had an opportunity and we still didn't get what we wanted.
And the defense made a stop after that, too. So, I mean, they did.
Well, that's what I was going to say. To me, you got points at the end of the half. You got points at the beginning of the half. You close the gap by 10 points. That's huge. You get the fourth down stop. And you got the ball at the 45-yard line. But you go 3 and out at that point, including that sack for 5 yards. So that, to me, is where the wheels started to fall off. But we had to wait till we got to the fourth quarter for them all to go all the way off.
But didn't they get it right back? And then we had the 5-yard run, the false start to put him back in second and long, drop pass. That was the moment that I thought, because that predated the Sanders missed field goal. That would have been first and 10 inside the 30-yard line.
Correct.
Well, for sure. But what I'm saying is that you get that fourth down stop. You got the ball at midfield.
Yeah.
And I looked to you guys and I said, the Jets, we're going to steal their soul here
if we
go down and score and take the lead.
You did say that.
And I think that was, again, you look at these opportunities. You get the ball at midfield. And momentum. You've just scored on your previous two drives. You take the ball down there and score, and I think, they're reeling now. They're looking at each other. They're pointing fingers, friendly fire, all
that stuff.
That's
what you have to do to teams like that, right?
Exactly.
But that's what they did
to
us. It reversed on that. I mean, because we didn't get it, it reversed, and the wheels fell off on our end. So that's a great point, Seth. I mean, it's a game of fine margins. I know 40-17 doesn't sound like it, but, man, they were right in it there.
Yeah, it wasn't. That wasn't the game.
No, not at all.
But you know what, though? The Jets said, we put 21 on you the fourth. You didn't put anything up.
Finished the game, right?
We feel like we destroyed you in the fourth.
And they did. Make your field goals. Make your field goals.
Good for them. We'll see you guys in December. Well, looking forward to that game as much as any other game.
I can't wait.
That was your Lexus Driver of the Game, brought to you by the all-new Lexus RX. Never lose your edge in our most evolved model yet. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. We don't like losing to the Jets. That's a tough one. It hasn't happened in a while. It happened today. Let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds so our stations can identify themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Out-of-town scoreboard coming your way next, and we'll start looking ahead to the Minnesota Vikings and talk about what's coming up on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. All that's next. Dolphins postgame driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from MetLife, Jets 40, Dolphins 17. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football, live on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Joe Rosen, Zach France in the mornings, Hawk and Crowder in the afternoon. Nobody covers Dolphins like AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Dolphins fans, you can be here for live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the NFL. Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at ticketmaster.com/dolphins. Let's go ahead and cue the music and get to the Week 5 NFL scoreboard. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch that game on Thursday night. It set offenses back about 50, 60, 75 years between the Broncos and the Colts, but the Colts steal one late, 12-9, with a fourth down stop of their own right on the shadow of the goal line. The Giants are victorious and 4-1 over the Green Bay Packers in London this morning, 27-22, as they take out Aaron Rodgers and the Cheeseheads. The Buffalo Bills, I don't know if you guys saw the 98-yard touchdown pass. I know you two did with me, but the rest of the audience here, Josh Allen. What's that?
Into the wind.
Into the wind, and on your fantasy team? Gabe Davis?
Oh, okay.
He broke his own rules to win a fantasy game, but that's okay. We'll forgive you for it. The Bills roll the Steelers 38-3. That was expected.
I do bench him when I'm playing against him, though.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I lose every year.
Wait, Josh Allen or Gabe Davis?
Gabe.
Okay.
Yeah, well, anybody that's playing against my team, I bench him.
Yeah, he went nuts today. The Chargers get a late win in Cleveland, 30-28. I think they scored a field goal to get that victory late in that game. The Vikings had to come back. They were up big on the Chicago Bears, but it was a Kirk Cousins quarterback sneak for a touchdown that put them over the top, 29-22. We'll see them next week. And, man, their offense, just looking at their numbers here, guys, from the game today, Kirk Cousins threw for 296. Dalvin Cook had 94 on the ground. Justin Jefferson, you want to talk about Xavier Howard getting back next week, sir? We could use you. Justin Jefferson's one of the best in the entire game. They win 29-22. The Patriots blank the Lions. The AFC East got some teams this year coming up. 29-0 over the 1-4 Detroit Lions. The Saints get a victory at home, their second of the year, over the Seahawks. Man, the Seahawks are scoring a lot of points and giving up a lot of points. 39-32, the Saints are victorious there in New Orleans. The Bucs get a win over the Falcons, 21-15. The Titans take out the Commanders, 21-17 in the nation's capital. The Texans, talk about setting offense back 50, 60 years, 13-6 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Somebody has to win the AFC South. I'm not sure who it's going to be, but somebody will get a home playoff game out of that division. Current scores right now, Niners 17, Panthers 9, and the Niners are on the doorstep of the end zone looking to make it a two-score game. Of course, Dolphins fans are interested in the Niners' results this year with that first-round draft pick next year. Cowboys and Rams, Cowboys up 6 at halftime, 16-10, and the Eagles are up at halftime on the Cardinals in the Battle of the Birds, 14-10. Out in the desert. Tonight's a great game. Bengals at Ravens. Looking forward to watching that one. And then tomorrow night, Raiders at Chiefs. So, Juice, as you look over this kind of list here, and, you know, I guess a good way to get into this topic was, I don't know if you heard Tom Brady this week. He was asked about parity in the National Football League, and he said, you know, what I see out there is a bunch of bad football. And I'm curious to get your take on that, because it does seem this year more than others. I don't know the numbers on this, and Seth would probably love to hear this, but offensive production is down so much this year through 5 weeks, or through the first 4 weeks. We'll find out about what happens this week. But yards are down, points are down, everything is down offensively.
Why would I love that?
Just because you like to, you know, I like to.
Am I anti-offense?
Just advanced metrics, maybe. I don't know what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's not advanced
we're,
metrics.
We're deep into hour two on a blowout game here.
I'm not talking about toe injuries. I just am against making, critical game time decisions based on a spreadsheet. That's what I'm saying.
The game is not played on a spreadsheet. And for a big fan of analytics, I do agree with that point. So I agree with you there. But, Juice, what do you think, man? I think the offense is down around the league. Quarterback ratings are down, all that stuff. I'm just curious what you attribute that to, because Brady says he sees it. I trust what he sees. Is that kind of what you're seeing right now? Because I know you get a chance to watch some primetime games here and there.
Well, yeah, I think the defenses have gotten so good, man. They really have. And they're so athletic, and they're so, like, creative. And I think that's one of the biggest things. When you've got guys like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady struggling against some defenses with talent on the field. I know Aaron Rodgers talked about he's got young receivers and things like that. He's still got a great running back and Adam Jones, and you got, you know, other guys that are, you know, are pretty good on the outside, and they're still having trouble moving the ball. It tells you how good defenses are getting. And so that's when you come up with the offensive guys, these young offensive guys that are got to be creative. And I think that's why we're blessed to have Mike McDaniel, a guy that can come up with opportunities for guys to go out there and be successful. Defenses are that good. They really are. Our defense, obviously, today wasn't that good. And, you know, on the other side of the floor was pretty good against us. But at the same time, though, I mean, the scoring is – they had to find a way to equalize somehow. You know, they made the rules so advantageous for the offensive side of the football. And now it seems like the defense has caught up to the rules, and they're making plays and making it more a little bit tougher for the offenses. And they need to even it out a little bit, because some of these scores and some of this all high-flying score, it's not indicative of what NFL games are supposed to be. NFL games are supposed to be, you know, somewhere in the 20s.
I love 24-21
games. Yeah, 20s games are NFL games. But when they're starting to score more than that, you know, when it starts looking like college score game, that's ridiculous. But then also a 9-6 game is absolutely atrocious as well. You know, so they got to figure it out. There's got to be a happy medium somewhere in there. So I think
how much of it is quarterback play, Juice? I just think there's only a few guys who can do it at high level.
Which is crazy, because this was supposed to be the year where there were so many quarterbacks.
Yeah, not only that, but the rules favor them.
Right.
The rules favor them. So, I mean, so what do you do? Seth, there's only 32 of these guys, or 64 if you're in your backup situation.
How many of them could play at elite level where, you know, if you're talking about bad offensive play, I mean, how much of that starts with the guy under center?
Well, I mean, look, that's the most critical. This is the most critical position in sports. Obviously, we know that part. But these guys are, you know, look, most of these guys you're talking about are – top picks. So what do you do when you got top picks or Hall of Famers that behind under center that aren't getting it done either?
Right, but again, well, and some of these Hall of Famers have been playing 150 years
too.
I'm just saying, at some point, there's a law of diminishing returns, and so I think
that's a big school thing. That's Gators.
Look it up. Google me.
I know what that is.
Google me.
I know what that is.
No, but I mean that's the.
I know about that.
You can only play at a high level. First of all, look, we don't like talking about Tom Brady, especially after getting after losing to the Jets. I want to choose my words carefully here. But the guy did things that were unnatural, inhuman. That, you know, I've always said I thought he sold his soul to the devil, because nobody can win that much. You can't play 20 years and go to 10 Super Bowls and win 7 of them. Like, it doesn't happen in all of sports. But at some point, you're just not going to be a player who's playing at that level. At some point, you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to play at that level. 38-3, I'm looking at the Bills over the Steelers. That quarterback is playing. He's taking the next step, right? He's, hey, guys, I'll take the torch. You're 150 years old. I'll take the torch. And I'm saying, so when you look across the board, if you're saying offensive numbers are down, I say start with the guy who touches the ball.
Yeah, most of those guys won mentally, though. They won mentally. Yep. Those guys are mental victors, right? No? And now Josh Allen's been able to do it physically. Physical is a way to do it nowadays, I think, because these guys are all able to figure out what these guys are doing mentally.
But he seems to figure
Aaron
out the
Rodgers
game as well.
And Tom Brady aren't as physically talented as they used to be, but they beat everybody with their minds. And now everybody else's minds are catching up with some of the things they're doing.
The Josh Allen comparison is a good one, because, you know, what was the quote that Coach said about we didn't see a single high safety look until
late in, second
late in
half.
The game? That's what's going on right now. Everyone's right. Playing these two high looks, and that's what Miami did against Josh Allen right. In that game against the Bills. That's why it was so frustrating, because because they were just giving them the underneath stuff. Josh Boyer was
a lot of yards, a lot of yards.
Yeah,
lot of
take
yards,
it. We'll no, buckle up in the red zone, correct. And that's how. Not only does it factor that the opposing offense not scoring a bunch of points because you have these 8-minute field goal drives, it then shortens the game, which means you only get 6 or 7 chances of the football. And if you have 7 possessions and you score, you know, touchdowns on half of them, that's 21 points. So it's like really high efficiency, but the scoreboard's not getting lit up. So these two high defenses, I think, are the way of the future. I think they're going to start limiting these big plays. You know, we heard Tyreek and Tua back in the preseason talk about that Eagles coverage being in quarters and how you're not supposed to be able to get deep on quarters, but when you have Tyreek Hill, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's going to be a challenge for teams to have to figure out how to overcome this. And today, with the running game the Dolphins had, that's the best way to do it, to get them out of that.
And also, you know, these teams now are getting smart about it. You know, instead of bringing that safety in the box like they've been doing, teams are starting to do when the run game is going well and our run game is going well. You play this to us, and we talked about this a million times, that you keep giving these teams all these long drives, and there's a good chance that something bad is going to happen at the end of it. You don't, and teams learn early in the season how the Dolphins are beating teams by leaving Tyreek and Waddle, you know, in these one-on-one situations, getting beat deep for big plays. Now they're going to play this too high shell. They're going to play these 4 across and then come up and make tackles and not give these opportunities and dare us to beat them with a run or dare us to go on a 10, 12-play drive for a touchdown. They don't mind giving a 10-play drive up and giving them a field goal. That might be the new formula for most teams, you know. But when you're giving up these long drives and giving up touchdowns like we did today, that's a problem.
And then offensively, false start, drop pass, back-to-back, missed field goal. There you go. There's your mistakes.
Bad, like we talked about before, the perfect storm of what we did today.
Exactly what you need to not happen to win football games. We have one more segment for you guys here. Dolphins postgame driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from MetLife was 40-17. Jets take it. You're listening to the fifth quarter overtime show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins radio network, where Dolphins fans live.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron. With Techron, find a station near you on the Chevron app. So the Dolphins dropped this one at MetLife, at New Jersey, New York, wherever the hell they play. And next week, they get to come home for a couple of home games here against the Minnesota Vikings and Pittsburgh Steelers. So looking to get right back in the home building. Hopefully, we get some players back as well. We talked a little bit about the Vikings offense on the other side. Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook. It is an explosive group, so the Dolphins going to have to be all hands on deck on that defense. Hopefully, 25 is back, and we get some things going the right way. Like Coach mentioned, like Seth mentioned, a fine-tooth comb on that defense. Going to need to bring their A game next week against the Vikings. You know who always brings their A game? The Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Drive Time Recap Podcast tonight. All 22 review on Tuesday. If I have to do it, you have to listen to it. That's the rule. So I want to get through it. You guys can get through the listening as well and kind of find out what went wrong there. And then we'll turn the page to Vikings week. But Big Seth, Fish Tank, what's coming up?
I think, Juice, we need to get things on the right track, so it's time to call in Ashula.
That's right.
And no That's disrespect right. to Mike McDaniel, by the way, who That's I right. think, again, a couple of tough losses. I think he's doing a fabulous job. I think we got the right guy. But having a lot of fun with what I'm saying here. We had Dave Shula.
So good.
And it was it was really great. I know that we're going to talk about a lot of things that, you know, young bucks like Travis only read about in the history books. But he was
in their books, Seth? Sometimes they, you know, they
depends where it depends what books you're reading. The books that I read growing up, absolutely. Dave Shula was fabulous. It was really cool for me. I mean, you played for Coach Shula, and you probably know Dave. I'd never
played against Dave
Shula
a couple times,
and you did play against Dave, and which he took a little issue with on the definitely handed him one of those, and he had a lot of losses, but you handed him one of those. He was just really great, and it was very cool to hear about what it was like to grow up in the Shula household.
So where did he coach at?
As a head coach?
Yeah.
The Cincinnati Bengals?
Okay. But he's at Dartmouth right now.
Okay. Why am I thinking of Alabama?
That's Mike.
Mike.
Okay, yeah. Shula.
Yeah.
So how many Shulas are there?
A bunch of them.
Well, those two boys. Dave's the oldest Shula boy, and he coached here. He was, and we talk all about it, but his first job in coaching, he was a position coach here.
You know what his wide receivers were?
Here?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't know what years he was here.
Clayton and Duper.
Okay, well, that's are they
pretty
good?
Deal with those cats.
How would you like your first job in the NFL as a position coach? You get Mark Clayton and Mark Duper, and Dan Marino's their quarterback. He got here in '82.
Well, how old was he though?
23 years old, 24 years old. I mean, that's a good way to get
the story. The whole story is amazing.
Yeah, it's
what
fabulous.
He was going to do and what he ended up doing is unbelievable.
It's really
just
cool.
Script up the game plan. Huh?
It's really cool. But I just was fascinated by the idea. I mean, we watch all this, and I said it to him. You know, we kind of watched the shoe. Look, we don't have the Royals here, thank goodness, like they do in maybe some other countries. But the Shulas in South Florida were like the royal family.
Yeah.
If you watch them as a young person growing up here, and so to hear from Dave Shula and what it was like to grow up in that.
Miami Dolphins football, live on the Miami Dolphins radio network.
Joe Rosen, Zach France in the mornings, Hawk and Crowder in the afternoon. Nobody covers Dolphins like AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Dolphins fans, you can be here for live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the NFL. Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at ticketmaster.com/dolphins. Let's go ahead and cue the music and get to the Week 5 NFL scoreboard. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch that game on Thursday night. It set offenses back about 50, 60, 75 years between the Broncos and the Colts, but the Colts steal one late. 12-9 with a fourth down stop of their own right on the shadow of the goal line. The Giants are victorious and 4-1 over the Green Bay Packers in London this morning. 27-22 as they take out Aaron Rodgers and the Cheeseheads. The Buffalo Bills, I don't know if you guys saw the 98-yard touchdown pass. I know you two did with me, but the rest of the audience here, Josh Allen. What's that?
Into the wind.
Into the wind and on your fantasy team?
I wasn't
Gabe Davis?
Oh, okay.
He broke his own rules to win a fantasy game, but that's okay. We'll forgive you for it. The Bills roll the Steelers 38-3. That was expected.
I do bench him when he's on, when I'm playing against him, though.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I lose every year.
Wait, Josh Allen or Gabe Davis?
Gabe.
Okay.
Yeah, well, anybody's playing against my team, I bench him.
Yeah, he went nuts today. The Chargers get a late win in Cleveland, 30-28. I think they scored a field goal to get that victory late in that game. The Vikings had to come back. They were up big on the Chicago Bears, but it was a Kirk Cousins quarterback sneak for a touchdown that put them over the top, 29-22. We'll see them next week. And, man, their offense, just looking at their numbers here, guys, from the game today, Kirk Cousins threw for 296. Dalvin Cook had 94 on the ground. Justin Jefferson, you want to talk about Xavier Howard getting back next week, sir? We could use you. Justin Jefferson's one of the best in the entire game. They win 29-22. The Patriots blank the Lions. The AFC East got some teams this year coming up. 29-0 over the 1-4 Detroit Lions. The Saints get a victory at home, their second of the year, over the Seahawks. Man, the Seahawks are scoring a lot of points and giving up a lot of points. 39-32, the Saints are victorious there in New Orleans. The Bucs get a win over the Falcons, 21-15. The Titans take out the Commanders, 21-17 in the nation's capital. The Texans, talk about setting offense back 50, 60 years, 13-6 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Somebody has to win the AFC South. I'm not sure who it's going to be, but somebody will get a home playoff game out of that division. Current scores right now, Niners 17, Panthers 9. And the Niners are on the doorstep of the end zone looking to make it a two-score game. Of course, Dolphins fans are interested in the Niners' results this year with that first-round draft pick next year. Cowboys and Rams, Cowboys up 6 at halftime, 16-10. And the Eagles are up at halftime on the Cardinals in the Battle of the Birds, 14-10. Out in the desert. Tonight's a great game. Bengals at Ravens. Looking forward to watching that one. And then tomorrow night, Raiders at Chiefs. So, Juice, as you look over this kind of list here, and, you know, I guess a good way to get into this topic was, I don't know if you heard Tom Brady this week. He was asked about parity in the National Football League. And he said, you know, what I see out there is a bunch of bad football. And I'm curious to get your take on that because it does seem this year more than others. I don't know the numbers on this, and Seth would probably love to hear this, but offensive production is down so much this year through 5 weeks or through the first 4 weeks. We'll find out about what happens this week. But yards are down, points are down, everything is down offensively.
Why would I love that?
Just because you like to, you know, I like to.
Am I anti-offense?
Just advanced metrics, maybe? I don't know what I'm talking
That's
about.
That's not advanced
we're,
metrics.
We're deep in the hour two on a blowout game here.
I'm not
talking
against
about
statistics.
Toe injuries.
I just am against making, you know, critical game time decisions based on a spreadsheet. That's what I'm saying.
The game is not played on a spreadsheet. And for a big fan of analytics, I do agree with that point. So I agree with you there. But, right. Juice, what do you think, man? I think the offense is down around the league. you know, quarterback ratings are down, all that stuff. I'm just curious what you attribute that to, because Brady says he sees it. I trust what he sees. Is that kind of what you're seeing right now? Because I know you get a chance to watch some primetime games here and there.
Well, yeah, I think the defenses have gotten so good, man. They really have. And they're so athletic, and they're so, like, creative. And I think that's one of the biggest things. When you've got guys like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady struggling against some defenses with talent on the field. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers talked about he's got young receivers and things like that. He's still got a great running back in Adam Jones, and you got, you know, other guys that are, you know, are pretty good on the outside, and they're still having trouble moving the ball. It tells you how good defenses are getting. And so that's when you come up with the offensive guys, these young offensive guys that are got to be creative. And I think that's why we're blessed to have Mike McDaniel, a guy that can come up with opportunities for guys to go out there and be successful. Defenses are that good. They really are. Our defense, obviously, today wasn't that good. And, you know, on the other side of the floor was pretty good against us. But at the same time, though, I mean, the scoring is – they had to find a way to equalize somehow. You know, they made the rules so advantageous for the offensive side of the football. And now it seemed like the defense has caught up to the rules, and they're making plays and making it more a little bit tougher for the offenses. And they need to even it out a little bit, because some of these scores and some of this all high-flying score, it's not indicative of what NFL games are supposed to be. NFL games are supposed to be, you know, somewhere in the 20s.
I love 24-21
games. Yeah, 20s games are NFL games. But when they're starting to score more than that, you know, when it started looking like college score game, that's ridiculous. But then also, a 9-6 game is absolutely atrocious as well. Yeah. You know, so they got to figure it out. There's got to be a happy medium somewhere in there. So I think
how much of it is quarterback play, Juice? I just think there's only a few guys who can do it at high level.
Which is crazy, because this was supposed to be the year where there were so many quarterbacks.
Yeah, not only that, but the rules favor them.
Right.
The rules favor them. So, I mean, so what do you do? Seth, there's only 32 of these guys, or 64 if you're in your backup situation.
How many of them could play at an elite level where, you know, if you're talking about bad offensive play, I mean, how much of that starts with the guy under center?
Well, I mean, look, that's the most critical. This is the most critical position in sports. Obviously, we know that part. But these guys are, you know, look, most of these guys you're talking about are – top picks. So what do you do when you got top picks or Hall of Famers that behind under center that aren't getting it done either?
Right, but again, well, and some of these Hall of Famers have been playing 150 years
it
too.
Doesn't so matter.
I mean, well, I'm just saying, at some point, there's a law of diminishing returns, and so I think
that's a big school thing. That's Gators.
Look it up. Google me.
I know what that is.
Google me.
I know what that is.
No, but I mean that's.
I know about that.
You can only play at a high level. First of all, look, we don't like talking about Tom Brady, especially after getting after losing to the Jets. I want to choose my words carefully here. But the guy did things that were unnatural, inhuman. That, you know, I've always said I thought he sold his soul to the devil, because nobody can win that much. You can't play 20 years and go to 10 Super Bowls and win 7 of them. Like, it doesn't happen in all of sports. But at some point, you're just not going to be a player who's playing at that level. At some point, you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to play at that level. 38-3, I'm looking at the Bills over the Steelers. That quarterback is playing. He's taking the next step, right? He's, hey, guys, I'll take the torch. You're 150 years old. I'll take the torch. And I'm saying, so when you look across the board, if you're saying offensive numbers are down, I say start with the guy who touches the ball.
Yeah, most of those guys won mentally, though. They won mentally. Yep. Those guys are mental victors, right? No? And now Josh Allen's been able to do it physically. Physical is a way to do it nowadays, I think, because these guys are all able to figure out what these guys are doing mentally.
But he seems to have figured
out
the game as well.
Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady aren't as physically talented as they used to be, but they beat everybody with their minds. And now everybody else's minds are catching up with some of the things they're doing.
The Josh Allen comparison is a good one, because, you know, what was the quote that Coach said about we didn't see a single high safety look until
late
in the game? That's what's going on right now. Everyone's playing these two high looks, and that's what Miami did against Josh Allen in that game against the Bills. That's why it was so frustrating, because they were just giving them the underneath stuff. Josh Boyer was
a lot of yards, a lot of yards.
We'll buckle up in the red zone. Correct. And that's how, not only does it factor that the opposing offense not scoring a bunch of points because you have these 8-minute field goal drives, it then shortens the game, which means you only get 6 or 7 chances of the football. And if you have 7 possessions and you score, you know, touchdowns on half of them, that's 21 points. So it's like really high efficiency, but the scoreboard's not getting lit up. So these two high defenses, I think, are the way of the future. I think they're going to start limiting these big plays. You know, we heard Tyreek and Tua back in the preseason talk about that Eagles coverage being in quarters and how you're not supposed to be able to get deep on quarters, but when you have Tyreek Hill, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to be a challenge for teams to have to figure out how to overcome this. And today, with the running game the Dolphins had, that's the best way to do it, to get them out of that.
And also, you know, these teams now are getting smart about it. You know, instead of bringing that safety in the box like they've been doing, teams are starting to do when, you know, when the run game is going well and our run game is going well, you play this to us. And we talked about this a million times that you keep giving these teams all these long drives and there's a good chance that something bad is going to happen at the end of it. You don't, and teams learn early in the season how the Dolphins are beating teams by, you know, by leaving Tyreek and Waddle, you know, in these one-on-one situations, getting beat deep for big plays. Now they're going to play this two-high shell. They're going to play these four across and then come up and make tackles and not give these opportunities and dare us to beat them with a run or dare us to go on a 10, 12-play drive for a touchdown. They don't mind giving a 10-play drive up and giving them a field goal. That might be the new formula for most teams, you know. But when you're giving up these long drives and giving up touchdowns like we did today, yeah, that's a problem.
And then offensively, false start, drop pass, back-to-back, missed field goal. Man, there you go. There's your mistakes.
Like we talked about before, the perfect storm of what
exactly,
we did today.
Exactly what you need to not happen to win football games. We have one more segment for you guys here. Dolphins postgame driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Again, the final score from MetLife was 40-17. Jets take it. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Overtime Show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins radio network, where Dolphins fans live.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron. With Techron, find a station near you on the Chevron app. So the Dolphins dropped this one at MetLife, at New Jersey, New York, wherever the hell they play. And next week, they get to come home for a couple of home games here against the Minnesota Vikings and Pittsburgh Steelers. So looking to get right back in the home building. Hopefully, we get some players back as well. We talked a little bit about the Vikings offense on the other side. Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook. It is an explosive group, so the Dolphins are going to have to be all hands on deck on that defense. Hopefully, 25 is back, and we get some things going the right way. Like Coach mentioned, like Seth mentioned, a fine-tooth comb on that defense. Going to need to bring their A game next week against the Vikings. You know who always brings their A game? The Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Drive Time Recap Podcast tonight. All 22 review on Tuesday. If I have to do it, you have to listen to it. That's the rule. So I'm going to get through it. You guys can get through the listening as well and kind of find out what went wrong there. And then we'll turn the page to Vikings week. But Big Seth, the fish tank, what's coming up?
Well, actually, I think, Juice, we need to get things on the right track, so it's time to call in Ashula.
That's right.
And no That's disrespect right. to Mike McDaniel, by the way, That's who right. I think, again, a couple of tough losses. I think he's doing a fabulous job. I think we got the right guy. But having a lot of fun with what I'm saying here. We had Dave Shula.
So good.
Yeah, and it was it was really great. I know that we're going to talk about a lot of things that, you know, young bucks like Travis only read about in the history books. But he was
in their books, Seth? Sometimes they, you know, they
depends where it depends what books you're reading. The right. books that I read growing up, absolutely. But Dave Shula was fabulous. It was really cool for me. I mean, you played for Coach Shula, and you probably know Dave. I'd never
played against Dave
Shula
a couple times,
and you did play against Dave, and which he
he talked
he took a little issue yeah, with on the yeah. yeah you yeah. definitely handed him yeah. one of those, and he had a lot of losses, but you handed him one of those. He was just really great, and it was very cool to so hear good. About what it was like to grow up in the Shula household.
So where did he coach at?
As a head coach?
Yeah.
The Cincinnati Bengals?
Okay. But he's at Dartmouth right now.
Okay. Why am I thinking of Alabama?
That's Mike.
Mike.
Okay, yeah. Shula. Yeah. So how many Shulas are there?
A bunch of them.
Well, the two boys. Those two. Those Dave's boys. The oldest Shula boy, mm-hmm. and he coached here. He was, and we talk all about it, but his first job in coaching, he was a position coach here.
You know what his wide receivers were?
Here?
Yeah.
I don't know what years he was here.
Clayton and Duper.
Okay. Well, that's are
he
they
had to
good?
Deal with those cats.
How would you like your first job in the NFL as a position coach? You get Mark Clayton and Mark Duper, and Dan Marino's their quarterback. He got here in 82.
Well, how old was he, though?
23 years old, 24 years old. I mean, that's a good
way to
get
the story. The whole story is amazing.
Yeah,
it's what he was going to do and what he ended up doing is unbelievable.
It's really cool.
Script up the game plan, huh?
It's really cool. But I just was fascinated by the idea. I mean, we watch all this, and I said it to him. You know, we kind of watch the shoe. Look, we don't have the Royals here, thank goodness, like they do in maybe some other countries. But the Shulas in South Florida were like the royal family, if you watch them as a young person growing up here. And so to hear from Dave Shula and what it was like to grow up in that household, I mean, we all You know, Juice, you got yelled at by Don Shula probably once or twice. Can you imagine coming home?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get a bad grade on a paper or whatever it might be, and then you got to answer to Dad. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So good.
That's coming up on the Fish Tank Podcast. You can find them wherever you get your podcasts, as well as the Drive Time Podcast 5 days a week as we look to turn the page here and get back home and hopefully get back on the right track.
We will, Travis.
3-2 Miami Dolphins. I believe, Travis. Juice, I'm a little worried about the injuries, but we'll get over it. We'll get over the hump and
get
things corrected
now.
Here. Antennas up, game on. Score your favorite games and shows for free. Visit the freetvproject.org to learn all about the free programming waiting for you, including Dolphins games. That's freetvproject.org. I read that one wrong every time. Thanks to Kim Bocamper, Joe Rose, and the voice of the Miami Dolphins. Jimmy Cefalo, our executive producer and booth producer today, was Alejandro Solana. Our studio producers, the great Robert Grieper, Matt Biff Wilson, and Jimmy Garcia. Our radio booth engineer was Stephen J. Gray. For OJ McDuffie and Seth Levitt, I am Travis Wingfield. DJ Preach also in the house. We appreciate him holding it down, getting the video content for us, even though today maybe not so much of that. The final score of today's game, Jets 40, Dolphins 17. Gross. After two straight road games, the Dolphins are back at Hard Rock Stadium next Sunday, hosting Minnesota. We'll talk to you from Miami after the Dolphins' Week 6 matchup versus the Vikings. This has been the Miami Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.